You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
All right, so how to get over the fear of talking to people. And, you know, I always try to bring a little bit different take on the different obstacles that face network marketers. And I try to give you a little bit different take on these things. And so I think, you know, today I want to help you out because I've never shared what I'm about to share in its entirety. So I think it'll help you out, seriously. And so, all right, so you got, and I don't know if you're going to be able to see this. You know what? And I forgot, I wonder if I can flip this while I'm doing it. Let's see. Kapow! Look at that. That's amazing. Boom! Man, Facebook on the fly flipped it around for me. Nice. All right. So you have the work-at-home person. Okay. We're just going to call it wah, right? And sorry, Periscope. You're flipped. I think. I don't know how to flip. I don't know how to turn the thing around. But so you have the work-at-home person. And a lot of people that enter the network marketing space, they are terrified of speaking to people. They're terrified of asking, you know, if someone wants to take a look and whatever. And so I want to help you out with that. But to do that, I'm actually going to give you some different kind of wild examples. So let me study what's showing on here. All right. So we're going to talk about money. I'll bring that up here in a second. But work at home. Okay. So What are we afraid of? Like, what do you think, and audience participation, what do you think keeps people from talking to other people? What do you think? What holds them back? I got the whiteboard. That's right. Okay, fear of rejection, right? So fear of rejection, okay? All right. Fear of rejection, procrastination, judgment. I'm seeing fear, obviously, different views. And so I'm going to, there's a lot of fear in most people that keeps them from asking other people. And so I'm going to give you a couple scenarios here. Okay. So I'm going to hook you up with a couple different ways to process this. And one of them is, seeking who's open. Okay. So I think one of the fears is, and I think the two most, the two biggest fears is really fear of looking stupid. Okay. That's one. And fear of not knowing what to say, right? So someone said lack of content, fear of looking stupid, and being ridiculed, being made fun of, being rejected, and fear of what to say. Like, what do I say if they say this? What if I say if they say this, right? And so fear of rejection. And instead, one thing that I've been teaching for years and years and years and years, but I don't think I've put it in quite the context. I'm going to share it with you here today. But I've said, instead of trying to close everyone, seek who's open. Seek who's open. Now, I'm going to come back to that, because I'm thinking that maybe that isn't translating as well as it should be, okay? And so anytime when I was prospecting, when I was making phone calls, when I was reaching out to people to see if they wanted to join my network marketing business, I wasn't trying to close everyone. Now, although I've studied about every sales course on the planet, inside and outside of network marketing, I mean, I've spent, you know, tens and tens of thousands of dollars on sales training over the years, over my career. And although I've studied all that stuff, I wasn't trying to close everybody. And so if I talked to someone and they were in an especially hard case, I didn't take it as a challenge, because my intelligence would kick in and say, hey, dum-dum, you're spending too much time with this person. Go talk to someone else. And so I always, what I would say, I wouldn't say that I'm like the best closer on the planet, but I would say that I've got to be one of the best at time management and efficiency. Like, I'm ridiculously efficient. And so, you know, I recently took this really in-depth leadership and mindset, I don't know if they call it an examination or whatever, but you know, it's like DISC, you know, the DISC profiling on steroids, because it looks into your natural personality, your adapted personality, why you make decisions, what drives you, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about the world. And so it's this big, like, just intense deal on, you know, just what makes me tick. And so one of the things that was really, really high was my propensity to be efficient with time. So I'm very, very efficient with time. And I'm always looking at how do I make my time better. And so that's why, to be honest, that's why I didn't try to close every person that I ever talked to, because I didn't feel it was very time efficient. Now, if you study people like, actually I gave away his course, I don't have it anymore, but in Jordan Belfort's course, The Wolf of Wall Street, and hey, some ethical issues there, you may or may not agree with him, but he taught people who hadn't finished high school how to make millions of dollars on the phone. And if you really know the story, you know, he was definitely some shady stuff there, but the way that he was teaching just psychologically was very, very powerful. And he would talk about fast disqualification as your friend. And so if you are cold calling, which I'm saying not the only way to build your business, but if you are cold calling, fast disqualification is not a bad thing. Meaning, determining if someone isn't going to join quickly is not that bad of a thing if you're cold calling. Okay, so I just didn't spend a ton of time. Like, I didn't, you know, because someone was breathing oxygen on the phone didn't mean I was going to spend the rest of my life with them trying to close them. I would find out, okay, are they open? Are they open? Let me see. Nope, not open. On to the next one. And so I saw it as I need to always invest in my skills and get better, but it also is a numbers game. Okay, so hopefully that helps you out here. But I want to dive into this and really let you know what this really means. Okay, so when I say, instead of trying to close every person that you talk to, seek who's open. Now, seek who's open has multiple layers. And so if I say something like, hey, I'm just curious, would you be at all open to a side project if it didn't interfere with what you're currently doing? And they say, maybe, what is it? You know, I'll take a look, right? Okay, they're open to taking a look at the tool. So I will take a look at the tool. I'll have them, you know, watch the tool or go through the tool, whatever the tool is for your company, whether it's an online video, hotel meeting, restaurant meeting, whatever. So have them go through the tool, have them get exposure because they were open and taking a look. Now, if they take a look at that thing and I say, what did you like about what you saw? And they go negative, then I'm going to go back in time and say, okay, well, I'm just curious. Why did you watch the presentation? Because you were hoping to see something. So you watched the presentation. I'm just curious, what were you hoping to see? All right. So I'm relying back on their openness. Does that make sense? Is that making sense so far? I hope so. Drop a thumb or a heart or what can you drop nowadays? All right. Okay. So I'm always seeking who's open. So are you open to looking at this thing? Great. Are you open to joining? Are you open to leading? Are you open to running meetings? Are you open to leading an event, right? So always looking, what's the next step for the person and their openness? If someone wasn't, and this is a good team building trick, if someone wasn't open to reaching out to their warm market, instead of trying to strong arm them, you know, and say, no, you need to reach out to your friends and family. Instead of that, I would say, cool, no problem. Here's how you talk to cold market. And then I would get them to company events where they would hear from other people that they should talk to their friends and family. And hopefully it would help them with their mindset. All right. But always seeing, are they open to the next thing? Never being the strong arm closer, never being a, you know, hard closer where I'm, you know, trying to push them into something or anything like that. Let me expand on this. Okay. So there is an occupation that's an everyday occupation. You see it. Some of you see it every single day, that they get rejected more than you do, but they're just not affected by it. Okay? They're not affected by it. So this occupation gets rejected nonstop, like literally, maybe every 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Strange, right? Now, I've used this analogy before, but I've never tied together the triad here. I'm calling this the triad, all right? So we got the wah, the work at home, right? I'm kind of picking on you, right? I'm trying to toughen you up here a little bit. But got fear of rejection, fear of looking stupid, fear of what to say. Now, the higher your... the higher your ATO, the higher your ATO, which is the addiction to the outcome, the greater chance you have of feeling stupid, coming across weird, coming across salesy, slimy, strange. The higher this, the more risk you are at. Now, if I don't have an addiction to the outcome, if I'm just seeking who's open, my addiction to the outcome is nothing, right? An addiction to the outcome means someone becomes a customer or a rep. Someone signs up. Someone hands me a credit card. If this is high, your risk level is high. Your risk of looking stupid, high. Your risk of coming into a place where you don't know what to say, high. Your risk of not making it in this business, high. So this, big concern, okay? So let's talk about someone who doesn't have an addiction to the outcome. It's an everyday occupation, something you see every single day, gets rejected to every, you know, 10, 20 minutes, right? And that would be, some of you already guessed it, because you've been on my trainings. And for those that can't read my chicken scratches, that's waiter, waitress, okay? Let me turn the... I'm just going to turn this just a little bit. If I can't, I don't even know how to turn this. How do I turn this thing? I'm asking you guys. Ooh, where are you just? Just turn it. Okay, so the waiter, waitress. Get rejected all the time. Hey, would you like a slice of homemade pie? No? Okay, no problem. Boom. The addiction to the outcome is extremely low. So the fear of rejection, very low. The addiction to the outcome, low. Fear of rejection, low. The fear of what to say, low. They'll ask every single person, would you like to see the dessert menu? Do you know how many people see the dessert menu? I mean, I don't, right? I don't have the statistics on that, the metrics, the analytics. But it's, what could it be, 10%? You know, at like lunchtime, I mean, how many people have a big slice of chocolate cake, right? And I don't think too many people. I don't. Or else I'd be in a coma, you know, the rest of the day. And so how often are they rejected? Just on the dessert menu. Probably nonstop. How many times do they say the special and someone says, nah? Okay. So they have low addiction to outcome and no fear of rejection, even though they're going to get it, just like you are. You're going to get rejected. You're going to have people not be open. You're going to. If you're in this business for 4 minutes, you're going to face some rejection. If you seek the lack of rejection, you're going to fail. If you draw emotional energy to rejection, you're going to fail. Just like the waiter or waitress. Like, so imagine if you're at a restaurant and they're like, hey, would you like a slice of key lime pie? It's so delicious and we hand make it every single day. And you say, no thanks. And they're like, God, damn it. Right? Like if they lose their mind because you turned down the pie, how long do you think they're going to last in this profession? Probably not too long. Why? Because their ATO is too high. When you talk to your friends, and I know you helped them move when they moved out of their house, and I know you helped them at their kids' bake sale, and I know you bought the kids' calendar, and I know that you donated to their charity, right? And that they owe you their time and their money. No, they don't. They do not. They don't owe you anything. But if you have a high ATO, you do have a high rejection rate, an emotional intensity that sucks, right? and a low chance you're going to make it in this profession. High ATO, low chance of success in network marketing. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, Ray, dude, waiter, waitress, at least they get paid. At least they get paid. You know, they've served the table, you know, they're going to get a tip, they get, you know, $2 an hour or whatever they get nowadays, right? And so they're getting something, Ray, at least they're getting paid, I ain't getting paid. Well, in my experience, you know, of being full-time in the network marketing profession, full-time trainer, former number one income earner in a network marketing company, I joined while in foreclosure. In my experience, if you, what's the word, suck. If you really suck at speaking to other human beings, if you suck at overcoming objections, if you just suck at communication, you're going to get about 5%. Okay? That's if you suck. So if you just suck, about 5% of the people you ever talk to will actually become a customer, buy something, or join your team. Okay? About 5%. Follow me here. In the company that I was in from 2009 to 2013, and eventually that team, we merged it into another company. So I effectively stayed with them for longer than that. But in that company, when you would sell your kit, okay, your what do we call it, fast start kit, or what was that called? I don't remember. But when we sold our Fast Start kit or whatever it was, when we sold that initial kit of product, okay, we'd make $100. Make $100. I don't know if you know where I'm going here, but I want you to think about this. In that company, if you sucked, if you just sucked, okay, you would talk to 100 people. Five might join, that's $500. So that means every human you talk to, at least in that company, if you suck, was $5. Do you think this waiter, waitress, do you think on average, do you think their tip is $5? Depends on the restaurant, right? Depends on, I mean, if it's a little diner, and they're buying a $4 breakfast, they make it $5 a person. You see how that works? Now, what I've found is best of the best do around 30%. Like, I'm talking like they're super slick. I mean, they're good, right? They got the schmooze on. And, you know, this is something that I'm getting some great comments from Periscope. I can always count on you, my friends. but if you're really good, about 30%. Now, that's probably shocking to some people, because I'm sure some people, you know, like I've had people tell me, they're like, Ray, I talked to 10 people and I only got 3 of them. And I'm like, wow, congrats. It's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. Because the best I've seen, like, you send them off into a cold market. I'm not talking about friends and family. I'm not talking just cold market. You send someone out into the wilderness, cold market, and they're really good, about 30%. Okay, so what would they be paid? Wow, so that's, what is that, $30 a person? I want you to understand, you're being, a couple things. One, if you can reduce this, your addiction to the outcome. If you can do like the waiter or waitress and just see who's open. You see, you should never turn off friends and family members. The only reason that you will turn off friends and family members is if this is high. If your addiction to the outcome, if you're like, man, what's wrong with you? This thing's ground floor. This is a no-brainer. How come you're not doing this? I helped you move. If that's you, then you're going to raise resistance amongst your friends and family members, and there's going to be you're going to get rejected, and rejected hard, and they're going to talk about you behind your back only because you get a high addiction to the outcome. But I want you to understand that, and by the way, I realize not every company is $100 for, you know, selling the Fast Start product pack. plug in your numbers. What if it's $20? Okay, well, at $20, you're making $1 a person. That's if you stink. You're like, no good. You've never even, you know, gone through one communications course. You've never read a book on sales or, you know, how to win friends and influence people. It totally missed you. Okay. I mean, very easily, you can get from 5% to 15%. Take a look. What is, when you move product initially to a customer or to a new rep, what are you making? And divide that out, and you will have how much you're making per person. Now, obviously, we increase your conversions by investing in courses and getting, you know, mentors, coaches, whatever else. But you can increase this, but you are getting paid every time you get rejected. Helpful? Is this good? Ruth says she has no idea I was this funny. You should come to our live events. They get a little crazy. They get a little crazy. So, just to recap. So let's no longer be wah, right? Let's be strong and positive, like bull, strong, right? So let's be strong by reducing our addiction to the outcome, by seeking who's open, not trying to close everybody on the planet, not guilting people, shaming people, being entitled to people, joining your business or not. Let's be more like the waiter, waitress. Would you like apple pie? Would you like to see the dessert menu? And if they don't, no problem, no big deal. Let me know if you ever change your mind, no big deal. And understand, every single rejection you are getting paid for, but only if you keep going. And then you can reverse engineer how much did you get paid per no, and that would be really cool for you to track. So there you go, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.